Morning, church. It's been a long time since I've been back at church, this church. I've been at Liverpool for uni, a uni student. I've been back and forth and things like that. So I'm really, I want to say excited to share God's word. And I really want to just take this time to, I just want to be a vessel. You know, I just want to be a servant of the Lord and let him speak through me. So yeah, so as I, to come up with what I was going to say, I was grateful that Pastor John, when you asked me to do this, because I felt excited to do it as well, but I was just like, Lord, what do you want me to say? Because there's things that I could, you know, say, but I need it to be a confirmation from God. So if you can get the slide, the first slide up. So I prayed, and you know, after conversations even with my sisters, stuff like that, I found that the title, Let God Use You As He Is Changing You, is very relevant, especially in my life. So what I'll be saying, church, is very much a lot from my personal experience. I'm not a theologian. I haven't been, you know, a lot, like, so I just want to be, as I said, a vessel and a servant of the Lord. So yeah, so why I chose that title, so the key word I found was let. So it gave me an image of, like, it's up to you to let God take the lead. So it's about Jesus not only being the savior of your life, but being the Lord of our life. And as I said, it alludes to being a vessel and a servant of the Most High, no matter what season of life you're in. So I just want to, this title, it kind of just gave me an image of a hand being held out, and it's about, like, just a hand being held out, and we're supposed to take it, and God, he's just so gracious that he's offering that us to us. He's extending his hand. So it's just if we let him to do so. So, yeah. So it's just let God be God. So have you heard the phrase, let go and let God, basically? So that's literally just it. So let God use you in your changing. Let God use you even when you feel broken, even when you feel like you don't understand the bigger picture, even when you feel less than that, whether that be less qualified or less than in general, just allow yourself to be a vessel of the Lord at all times. Essentially, just let God do his thing. That's what I'm saying. So if we move on to the next slide. Okay, I want to start off with a segment which was called Misconceptions and Mindset. This was basically to elaborate on the way I was thinking, how I thought, some thoughts I've had, habits that kind of hindered me subconsciously and consciously from believing that God could use me as he's changing me. So for example, I'll give this one of subconsciously putting God in a box. And I've called it at the top, having a logical ideology of God. So this especially came to me, like, putting humanly logic, especially to God's grace and his mercy, and not really understanding the full impact of our Lord and Christ. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how powerful he is. So so for an example I could give was, surely I can't share this word, or surely I can't be blessed right now because of I'm not where I want to be in this, maybe that be spiritually, physically, or whatever. Or it would make sense for the blessing or opportunity to come if I was where I would want to be spiritually. But if I'm not there, God's not going to intervene. So, yeah. But Continuing, I also had a this is why mindset, where I would also think logically about things. Like, without consolidating God first, I would just be like, oh, that's why this has happened. That's why this has happened. But I haven't taken the time to really consolidate and pray about why situations are occurring. So what would happen with this mindset is I would be more or less fixated on outcome, rather than just setting my eyes on the Lord and say, on Jesus, basically, throughout having my daily bread and basically building my relationship with him, rather than thinking about outcome. Then it made it clear that we cannot limit God to human logic at all. From this, I started to meditate on his word and actually realize who is our God? Who is the God we serve? And what are his wishes over our life? That made me look into some of the promises of the Lord that he's given unto us. Not just the physical gain promises, not just the one that for our outcome, but how our journey as Christians, what has he promised for us to, what has he promised us? So if we go into the next slides, I've just put a few up there. There's thousands and thousands of promises that the Lord has given unto us. But I think the ones that really, really stuck out to me, I'll say this first one, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, my power is made perfect in weakness. I've got Deuteronomy 3:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And John 16:33, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Just a little backstory. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And just a few others that I couldn't really fit on the slide, but I'll read them out. So I got Psalms 32:8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Psalms 37:23-24. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So why are these so important to remind ourselves? What I've gathered, especially as of recent, is that there will be a time where we will not have easy access to the Lord's words. And there will be a time where whatever is written on our hearts is all that we have. So I just, having heard also Gigi said about the end times and stuff like that, not to scare, not for scaring, but there will be a time where we actually will need to hold dear God's word and not just rely on our technology and not just rely on, other people, maybe the preachers, pastors, or sermons you've seen on TikTok, Instagram, or on live. There will be a time where these will be the words that God will be speaking to you, and you remind yourself in every situation on how to go. So I found that just knowing that the Lord is always with me. Did I say that one? But the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you and never leave you and forsake you. Just knowing that in all situations, even when you're changing, even when you don't see the end result, it's a reminder so that you can continually live and be a vessel of God, and he will lead through you. To slightly go back to misconceptions and mindset, just to give this example of, I'll say how God has changed my perception on something. How God's changed my perception. So it was an example of how I viewed worship. So, for example, if it wasn't the right atmosphere, or if I wasn't in tears, or if I didn't, I would be like, oh, is the Holy Spirit even there? Like, am I feeling it enough? Or I can, there's the certain song, or that I can have that deep one-on-one worship with. Or say it's like, oh, but this made me realize this is completely false. I would say when we understand that the Lord is with us throughout, it doesn't matter. It's not about the song. It's not about the place. It's not about if the lights are dim, if they're on. It's about he will never leave us. So realizing that completely changed how I worshipped. And just being, I had to humble myself to realize, oh, I've been doing this wrong. Do you know what I mean? And I was thinking, so when I realized that that change, oh, God has changed that perception, it made me realize that, okay, God is speaking. He's always working. You just need to remind yourself of what his promises do say, and make ourselves well-versed of the word of God, essentially. So, yeah, it's not subject to certain conditions. You can worship anywhere. He is always with you. If you remember that he remains with you, your worship, he listens, he hears. And it's basically honoring him. It's honoring him. So if we move on to the third slide. So being a follower of Christ is a journey. And obviously we are not omniscient. We are not all-knowing like the Lord our God. So we walk by faith and not by sight. So in this part, I'm going to be referring to the word let in this part of the title, of letting God use us while he's changing us. So if we allow God to use us even when we do not feel complete, that means that we must trust him. Like, if you are fully surrendering to the Lord, you must, church, we must be trusting him. We're giving our lives to let him use us, even when we don't see the end result. So, walking by faith and not by sight. So it's very easy to say, yeah, I trust God. Yeah, when you've seen the bigger picture, a situation has happened, you'll be like, yeah, I never doubted God. Like, I believed, I trusted him. He was there because I saw how it happened. I saw the outcome. But what now happens when something doesn't work out with the subconscious time period that you had put over yourself? Is that just the same? And you, like, for example, by now I thought I would be here, but I'm not. Or by now I thought things would have turned out this way or worked out in a certain way. But we could be like, yeah, I trust God. But are we believing? Or do we believe that? So it made me think about what happens when the pressure or hardship is now continuous? Do we fully believe in that same trust? So the reason why we don't want to let ourselves be a complete servant of the Most High, I came to think from my experience, because it could be because of disappointment, because of that subconscious time period that I was just like, God, why hasn't this happened this way? So I'll be like, yeah, I'm trusting in God, but it was never the same as it was when I was like, you know, the outcome. And I was wondering why is that? So I thought that could be rooted in disappointment. Like, God, you knew if this happened where I would be. But I just want to remind us, church, about who the God is we serve. There will be a point where every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So He knows our situations. He knows what we are going through. And even though we don't see the bigger picture, we need to remain firm and have our, and trust in the Lord our God with all our strength and all our might. We just trust in him because he's omniscient, he's calculated, he knows, he will, as Pastor John said, like, if even he wouldn't believe, oh wait, was it, yeah, you said, you wouldn't believe certain things would happen if I told you. So God, if even if you told us what would happen or the way it would happen, we would be like, it's incomprehensible. That's more or less what I'm trying to say. So even when the pressure is applied, we need to, as I said, go back to the word, go back to his promises and constantly remind ourselves and not just say it, but believe it, trust it. Because if we want to let God use us whilst he's changing us, we must trust his words and for them to apply it. So I found this analogy. It was about a lemon and an olive. They're both very appeasing to the eye. But once pressure is applied, one produces bitterness, another produces healing oil. So this is a question. I'm even questioning for myself. What are the fruits that we are producing when pressure is applied? And it's just to even think about, but we sometimes don't understand why certain hardships are going on or certain things are longer lasting. But maybe God is trying to give you this time to use his word effective. Put it into works, basically. Use what he said and put it into works. So to see, he's trying to see what fruits you're producing. What is the product? Are you relying on, what's your pillar? What's your source? Who do you go to when the pressure? It's all well and good we come to praise God when things are great. But what do we do when the pressure is applied? So I wanted to read a bit of Acts 16 that shows even through hardship and struggle, trusting by worship and praise of God will always be the solution. So it's about Paul and Silas and how they went to prison. But I'll just give a bit of understanding, a bit of backstory before we read that. So I've just put a bit of context. So alongside Paul and Silas, they were basically, Acts 16 was talking about how they were obeying the Lord and being very, they were just attentive to the Spirit and being Spirit-led and using their discernment. And some examples given were when the Holy Spirit prevented them from preaching in one of the provinces in Asia. And when they tried to enter Bithynia, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. And another is when Paul had a vision of a man that he should come help that city, Macedonia. But from that, he saw that vision as a way of a sign from God. So he was very Spirit-led at the time. So to Acts 11, 16 verse 11, it was talking about the conversion of Lydia in Philippi. And to move on, we see that as Paul and Silas were going to find a place of prayer, they spoke to Lydia, a woman they came across. And I really like this verse that has been mentioned, and it's Acts 16, verse 13. And it says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who gathered there. Do we have the next verse? Thank you. Sorry, my eyes. One of those was a listening woman from the city of Thyatira. named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And I think just that last phrase, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And I think a lot of us, including myself, we try and do things by our own might. And when we realize, in order for God to change us, we need to allow God to do the softening, allow God to do the opening of our hearts. And basically, let God be God. Let go and let God. So yeah, that particular, the Lord opens her heart to respond to Paul's message. And this is just also a thing to encourage every single one of us, even with people here or friends or family that we have. I think instead of thinking, oh, let's say you want them to come to the Lord, just let God do the work. Cast it to God and let his burdens, cast your cares and your burdens onto him. Let God be God, and he will soften their hearts. He will do the work. Even when you're speaking to people, sometimes you feel like you don't know what to say in certain situations. I could be like, even in a presentation, just be like, let God soften their hearts so that they understand my point. Or even when you're talking to your friends about Christianity, sometimes you feel like, oh, I don't know a lot of the Bible. I know I felt that, and I'm speaking to someone, I feel like I need to share a word. I just will use that. Let Lord open their hearts. Open their hearts to understand what I'm trying to say, and not be defensive and not feel like I'm attacking, but open their hearts. And just when you know that it's God who does the work and not ourselves, it's not how many Bible verses you've remembered, or it's not how loud you can tell them. It's about whether, at the end of the day, the glory is God's, and he will do the work, and he will soften their hearts for them to understand. So it's just another reminder that God is still working in us, even when we don't see it. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. Yeah, God is still working with us, in us, no matter, in every season and every time of our lives. And you don't need to be perfect. It's not this idea of perfection is even something we need to take out the equation completely. So we do not need to be put together or for God to use you. God can use, we are human, you need to give yourself, God's grace is sufficient and everlasting, and it's abounding. So we need to give ourselves grace to know that he can still use us whilst he's changing us. It's not to go to say that we should continue to remain in sin or continue like that, but it's going to say that, also going back to humanly logic, try and take that humanly logic out and just realize, okay, I don't see the bigger picture. I don't know what's happening, but God, I want some of your grace. So let me give that, let's apply that grace. So I would like, Tiff, if you're all right, to come and read. Oh, do you want to? Yeah.
Sorry.
No problem.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm Tiffany, Bethany's sister and daughter of Faith and Elijah. I've been at this church all my life as well. We were born here. And I would just like to take this time to thank God, because I think my relationship with Bethany, we've always been strong. Like, we're closer sisters, but I think during university, our bond has really deepened, not just as individuals and not just as sisters, but also through Christ and our personal journeys with Christ. And when we were doing Bible studies, like, I know Bethany's had this word for quite a while about letting go, letting God do his thing, because we need to let the big guy, you know, make the decisions for us, because our lives are not our own. And I just thank Bethany. I thank Bethany for even giving me this opportunity to read. But yeah, I would just like to give this time to be grateful for our relationship as sisters and ourselves with our journey with Christ. Anyway, I won't ponder too long. I'm going to be reading from Acts 16, 16 to 31. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. Who are you telling the way to be saved?" She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit led her. When her owners realized that hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating custom unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in an attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew a sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Amen.
So that the basically Paul and Silas' imprisonment, I felt was very relevant to today's message. And there's a lot of parts to break down, so I'll go over the main part, which was the fact that they must have not known that where they were going, they were going to be flogged severely, shackled, and placed in prison. So they were just following by the Spirit. They called and they said, "We'll go," and they cast out a demon, and the demon fled her. But this is very relevant to today's society, because what's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right, basically. So the society will tell you that where you're doing the wrong thing, or this is wrong, it's unlawful. As they said, they said, "Oh, we can't benefit off this because it's not profitable." So they therefore chained him, flogged him. But the troubles, as it says, we need to remember in our word that the troubles were, God doesn't say there won't be troubles in our lives, even though that is very extreme. But he does promise that he will be with us throughout. And even in all that, they must have not known what was coming at the end. They didn't know that the shackles will be broken free, or maybe God could have given them a vision, but as of what we've read, they didn't know. So the fact that they still sang praises and they still worshipped God and everybody was listening, they did this even though they didn't see the bigger outcome. They were chained. All that they had was their voices. They didn't have text. They didn't have people like to consolidate with. They only had their voices and their worship. So they now have worshipped and see what God will do. If you let go and let God, see what God will do. And through that, he then goes on to He then goes on to, someone then becomes saved. And then the words if we could get the last verse up, please. 31. Sorry. It said they replied, before in the Lord Jesus. I need glasses. I forgot my glasses at home. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. That is also a promise. So we do need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just an encouragement, you and your household will be saved. So, yeah. And I was going to mention about Psalm 17:47. If we could get, yeah. And I'll explain why I wanted to. All those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. So I wanted to mention this because this is from the story David and Goliath, and he was even later on, we see how it was Saul that even tried to kill David. So this even shows that from Saul trying to kill David, that he now becomes Paul and God can still use him. He can still use you while he's changing you. But back to that verse. Can we have it still on this? Yeah, thank you. I just wanted us to understand these words here. It says, it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. I saw this as it's not because of this outcome that the Lord is powerful. Like, it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, but the battle altogether is the Lord's. So it's not the blessing that is like, oh yeah, God is so powerful because he blessed me. But our whole journey, our whole life, how Christ has been through our entire life is what we should be saying is how powerful he is. Not because of some monetarily or, it might not even be monetarily, but physical outcomes. It's the actual journey. It's the battle is his. Like, he's got the whole world in his hands, essentially. So, yeah, I really appreciated that. And then to say the battle is Lord's and he will give all of you into our hands. So this was when they were going for battle. And the fact is, also, later on with David and Goliath, is that he used what he had, which was some stones and a sling. And to know that God will equip you. It's not what society thinks we should be equipped with, but God will equip you with the necessary tools that is needed to basically fight this battle, because we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against principalities of powers and of darkness. So God will equip you. So even as he's changing you, he's giving you the necessary equipments to spread his word, to preach his gospel, and to do this journey of being a follower of Christ. I just wanted to... Could I have the last slide, please? Sorry. Yeah. I just wanted to have this phrase of just let God. Just allow yourself to fully trust God. Fully surrender. Have the ultimate surrender. And put your hands in God, not knowing what could happen. Remembering that he is almighty and he is all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, the Omega and the Alpha. So when we know that, reminding ourselves of his promises, we will never be disappointed. And disappointment is the last thing we'll have. So not even the last thing, we'll not be. So yeah, we just need to let go and let God, let him have our lives. Let us be a vessel. Doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter where we've been, what we've, the habits, whatever cycles, but just let God change you. Let God use you whilst he's taking you out of something, or whilst he's in the season when you don't see the ahead, you know, because as we grow, I don't know what's going to happen in 10 years when I'm 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. But I don't know what's going to happen. So I just have to rely on the promises of God and rely on his words and just continue, because that's all I've got. I just have to let God use me, because we are all changing. We don't stay the same. We try not to stay stagnant. We're all changing, growing, whether that growing, moving, whatever. So just, church, this is a reminder that we need to let God use us. Just allow him to. He's got his hand out. Just take it. Let God use you while he's changing you. So, yeah, I think, yeah, thank you. Sorry, yeah, I didn't. It might be a bit early, but actually, I think we should take some time, as we've said about Southport and what's happened and things like that. And to be fair, I was coming home yesterday from Liverpool, and if I hadn't left early enough, they almost blocked off the train station, so I wouldn't have been able to get here today. So I left earlier. I didn't realize the riots were going on and stuff like that, but I do believe we really need to pray for this nation completely. We need to pray for the students, youth, anyone who's going into university next year, or even moving away, or a different season of your life. We just really need to pray and commit these people into our lives. Pray and commit ourselves, so that we can really see a change in this nation, because it's honestly devastating what's going on. The fear, the anxiety that shouldn't be there is massive, so we just want to take a time so that we can pray. Although we prayed earlier, I'd like to pray again. So are we able to stand? Yeah. So even in this time, we can even take time to pray about even just meditating on this message. Pray about letting God use you whilst he's changing us, letting God use us whilst he's changing us. So I'd like to, dear Lord, would like to commit this into your hands. Would like to thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for your mercy. We thank you that you're able to continue to use us even whilst we are changing, even whilst we don't see the end goal, even whilst we don't see the outcome. But Lord, we are so grateful that your love and your peace is among us, and that your promises we can hold dear to us, to our hearts. Let the promises be written on our hearts, so we constantly are reminded of who you are and what you say to us, and how you will guide our steps in everything we do. Lord, I'd like to take this time to pray for anyone who's entering a new season of life, whether that be university, whether that be moving somewhere, new job or whatever. Lord, I pray that you may be before them, go before them, and that you may intervene in their lives, and that they may hold your promises, no matter what hardship that they go through. Lord, we recognize your word and what you say. And Lord, I'd like to pray for this nation in particular. I'd like to pray for Liverpool, wherever riots are happening. Lord, I pray that you may change the hearts of those and guide them, guide their steps, guide our steps, and also who we're surrounded by, Lord. Guide, please place people that we can impact or that can, that will impact us as well, Lord, so that we can continue to spread your word and change this nation one by one. And minister to others, oh Lord. Lord, I'd like to commit this week and our future weeks into your hands, that you may go before us and guide each and every one of our steps, and that we will lean on, let Jesus be our source. Let Jesus not only be our Savior, but be our Lord, so that he can go before us and guide us. And Lord, we'd like to thank you that we're everyone, every single one of us that are here today, that you know everything. You've guided all our steps, and this is not in vain. And we pray that you may intervene in every single one of our lives, and that we recognize that you are Lord, and that our hand is extended, your hand is extended, and that we may grasp it and just lead with your words. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah.